I'm Natalie.
I'm Lena.
And I'm Sean. We are three friends who all love film and thought it would be cool to discuss movies from our perspective.
We rate movies in terms of how drunk you need to be to enjoy them.
We call it the Martini Scale.
What's up, ladies?
Hello.
Oh, you sound a little hot there, sweetie.
I'm sorry. I will
you need
back
to chill
away.
The fuck out.
Back away.
We're in a new location, so I think we may sound a little different. But,
we're going to
sound
a little echoey, I think, because of the acoustics. We're actually recording in a new place tonight.
You know, we really wanted to capture this live reaction.
Oh my god,
this movie.
We just saw
reaction.
The craziest fucking movie. Oh my god!
And I literally was like, I cannot wait to talk about this movie.
As a bonus, Natalie and Lena scared me in the parking lot after the movie.
It was so great. I peed my pants.
So they did this thing. So let me ask you guys, did you guys plan to actually do that? Or did you really plan to go to the bathroom?
It was a split second plan.
Okay. Yeah. And we've got a guest star in the background. We've got
Mr. Cooper.
Mr. Cooper, my dog, is guest starring. So if you hear him.
No, we wanted to use the restroom, but it was packed. So we decided, oh, we'll just hold it and go to your house. And then as we were walking out, we saw you. So then we decided to run around the other side to catch you.
Yes. And then you caught me again in the parking lot.
Well, Natalie saw you and I did not.
So
because
like,
you were so buried in your phone.
So I was like frantically texting like five different people about my experience with this movie because I just need to talk about it. I'm so glad we're doing this right now because still need to talk about it. But I'm texting all these different people and then I'm like, there was just people were walking around. It was a Universal. Like it was just a lot happening. It was kind of like sensory overload anyway. And then all of a sudden these two bitches just fucking pop out of nowhere and scare me.
I mean, we were at Universal. So I always get that feeling of like, I'm going to Halloween Horror Nights. Anyways,
even in February.
And so I honed in on that feeling.
Yeah.
And, if I could have slid on my knees and had little clackers, I would have done that.
Oh my god!
Yeah, it was
she
pretty.
She really would have.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then I wish I could have got my car tires to screech a little more when I drove up to you.
Almost killed me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for that.
Oh, should we tell people what we're talking about?
We should. We're going to be talking about The Invisible Man, which is what we just saw tonight. So it's like literally can't get more live than this.
So fresh.
And we're going to talk about a movie that we saw last weekend called
The Lodge.
Ooh, I like that. I was like in stereo. Mm. The Invisible Man is a 2020 science fiction horror film written and directed by Lee Whannell. It's a contemporary adaptation of the novel of the same name by H.G. Wells and a reboot of the Invisible Man film series. It follows a woman who believes she's being haunted by her abusive partner, despite him apparently having died. The film stars Elizabeth Moss, Aldous Hodge, Storm Reid, Harriet Dyer, and Oliver Jackson Cohen.
Oh, I love him so much.
Which one is that?
Adrian, the Invisible Man.
Okay, we're going to talk about that because I have a lot to say about that. And The Lodge is a 2019 psychological horror film. 2019?
Yeah, remember I was talking about it earlier.
The fuck? Okay, we're going to have to talk about that. It's a psychological horror film written and directed by, if you think I'm going to say these names, you're fucking crazy.
I know.
Veronica Franz. Well, that one's easy. And Servinin Fiala.
Well, I like it.
Okay, let's go with that. It's from a screenplay co-written by Sergio Cossi. And it stars Riley Keough, Jaden Martell, Leah McHugh, Lisa Silverstone, and Richard Armitage. And the story is basically a soon-to-be stepmom is snowed in with her fiancé's two children at a remote holiday village. Just as relations begin to thaw between the trio, some strange and frightening events take place.
How's that? Strange for sure.
Yeah. Okay.
That's good.
So I think we need to start off by talking about this delicious martini that we're drinking tonight. And by delicious martini, I'm just going to come out and say it. It's an empty glass.
What's the thing
this
called?
This is the invisible. This is the invisible martini, Sean. The invisible martini.
I'm sorry.
Invisible.
What does it taste like?
It tastes like air.
Air.
It's quite delicious.
It's refreshing.
Air. I think that it should have like a very like, it should still have the flavor of a dirty martini or just like vodka. It's vodka. That's what we're drinking today.
I think it's like, it's clear.
It's clear.
It tastes crisp.
Yeah, I've given it away.
Fresh.
We're drinking vodka. We're drinking straight up vodka. Just pour some vodka in the glass and have a sip.
And it's invisible.
And it's the invisible martini.
Yep. Yeah, there you go.
We're pretty clever over here at the Martini Scale. You're welcome. So I want to dive in because we're going to start with talking about The Lodge. I'm sorry. I'm just kidding. I'm already drunk, okay? In case it's not clear, I'm already drunk.
Invisible martinis are strong.
Frazzled. Wow. Because I'm so traumatized by this experience that I just had, whether it was like the parking lot after the movie, whether it was the movie itself, whether it was the ending, which I have to tell you guys that there's going to be spoilers in this episode because I have a lot to say and there's... I can't say it without divulging what happens. I was scared from the fucking first.
Are we starting with the lodge or the invisible?
We're starting with the invisible man. Okay. If this is your first episode of the Martini Scale, please go back and listen to something else because this is not going to be the best introduction. I think I'm very sensitive right now because I have a lot of feelings about this movie that we just saw. And so
And we're a little displaced than normal.
Yeah. So. And we've had some sound issues. So if you hear this, if it sounds like it was edited flawlessly, it's because of my tremendous editing skills because it's a fucking shit show. So, first frame of this film, I was completely terrified. I think there's something about the way that they just dive right into everything. And I think so, to give you a little bit of context, for me, when I first saw this trailer, and I think I've already shared this with you guys, but when I first saw this trailer, my immediate reaction was, this is giving me major Sleeping with the Enemy vibes. And I still think that throughout the film, I felt that way. But they open with the house on the cliff, on the beach, the ocean.
Very more modern Sleeping with the Enemy.
Yeah, house. And it's got like all the windows in the house. And gorgeous. She's trying to escape her life. And I'm just like, this is Sleeping with the Enemy.
And I was like, what are you escaping from? This house is gorgeous.
Well, and we hadn't seen him, which was the weird thing. And we're going to get to...
I knew who was in bed with her. Oh, so yeah. I was like...
I did not.
Bitch, I don't know why you leaving. Okay. It's not any better out there.
All I want to say is that when he finally appears, I was like, bitch, I don't care what the fuck he did to you. You go back to him. You go back to him right now because no one ever is going to do better than this beautiful,
fine gentleman,
gorgeous specimen of a human being.
Yep.
Oh my God.
Okay. I've been talking about this guy for a long time.
I cannot think of the things that I would condone in order to be in a relationship with this person and in that house. I'm sorry, but like, life is not better out there.
That house has nothing in it.
Everybody thinks the grass is greener and she should know. Well, Aldous Hodge, that grass is greener.
I don't know. When she escaped, the grass was greener. Actually greener.
So my first thought with Aldous Hodge is like one of the first major scenes that he appears in. He like is startled awake or something and runs into the room that they're in. And I'm thinking like, why do you sleep with your clothes on? Because at the very least, you should be sleeping without a shirt.
Yes.
Come on. I mean, come on. You can see by his arms that he's clearly, you know, he's... clearly been working out.
We love Aldous Hodge here at the Martini Scale.
We do.
I just had a weird thing though, not to talk about his beauty. I mean, his beauty is his beauty. But when he was painting and he had that t-shirt and like these blue sweatpant things on, did his legs look extremely long compared to his body?
I didn't even notice the legs.
And then later on when he was wearing another outfit, I was like, oh my God, his top half of his body is very short compared to his legs.
You know what? Honestly, I did not notice that. I
think
you're
going to have to go back and look.
I just noticed how his pants fit him in that kitchen scene. And I was like, oh,
which kitchen scene?
The hubba hubba.
Toward the beginning.
In the beginning. At the refrigerator.
Okay, so this is not that kind of podcast. I think we need to move on to the plot. So,
oh, can I say something?
Yes.
So
I have
discovered a few things about myself recently that don't have to do with Aldous.
Okay.
Just to be clear.
Is this any way connected to the episode?
It is.
Okay. Martinis or movie cues?
I am actually, as an adult, quite terrified of the dark. And I know I'm scared of things that I can't see. So, like, that's one of my favorite things about horror movies is, like, I don't want to see the monster. I kind of want to. And I think the combination of the two of being in the dark and not being able to see what it is, that to me is, like, the perfect magic of how to scare me.
Paranormal activity.
Exactly. Yep. And so when, especially in this type of movie, when it's like we're looking in the room and we fucking cannot see anything, I'm like, this is my nightmare.
You grabbed my shirt and yes. I was like, okay, are you scared?
Yes, I was terrified. And I had an experience recently where I had to go into a building at work that is completely, there's no lights that come into this building. And turning the lights on is a really hard thing to do.
Oh, okay.
It's in the screening room. And so I had to just go get something. So I turned my flashlight on to go get it and literally got so scared that I like grabbed it and sprinted out of the room because I was like, I can't. I just got this weird feeling. And I was like, I do not want to be in here right now because it's a big room and it is pitch black dark.
Isn't that weird?
No windows. And I hated it. I was like, I haven't had that feeling of like absolutely terrified. I felt like I was a 5-year-old.
Oh, wow.
And I like got out of there and I like got into daylight and I was like, just like, and then so there's moments in this movie that were like she's walking around in the dark and I was like, nope, I want to get out of here.
Oh,
like
my God.
It just really does me in.
It's interesting because you use the word terrified and I was actually thinking as I was driving home the 5-minute drive from the theater to here, I was wondering if it was appropriate to use that word to describe this film because I legitimately felt that there were certain scenes where I felt that way. And I think that it was, now that I've had a little bit of time to reflect on it, I do think it's an appropriate word to use for this film because it's not just the unknown, like the audience doesn't even know. And I think that's what's so cool about this film is that like most movies, the audience is at least in on where the killer is or where, or like you have some idea. I feel like you're in one of their...
Or the killer's point of view.
Yeah,
or
like there's something. Yeah. There's some indication of what's going to happen or where the person might be.
Right.
And this, there's like... The whole movie is you don't fucking know.
You only know as much as the protagonist.
Totally. That's funny. So yeah, this movie though, like I first seen, absolutely scared. Like you're in it immediately. And I loved that. I loved the fact that you're just like, we're either along for this ride or
we're hanging on. Because you're scared of him waking up.
Well, yeah, exactly. Spoiler, yeah. Exactly.
So nothing's like, you don't know what you're scared of yet, but you're scared of just her. Clearly, you know she's trying to escape.
And I don't know about you guys, but I found myself thinking, like, I was, like, worried. I was like, is this enough exposition? Like, do we know? Like, but you did. You knew. Like, she just needs to get the fuck out of there. Yeah. You don't need to know the context.
I think, and this is kind of like some of the reviews that I've kind of heard about the last couple of days, which is interesting because we bought our tickets a few days ago.
Mm-hmm.
And even from the trailers, I wasn't really that excited to see this movie.
Oh, I was very excited.
I was like, whatever. I didn't care. And the reviews have been coming out. And I've been hearing like the Rotten Tomatoes score. And I was like, what? Like, how is that possible?
What's the score?
It was like
90%. Like, really? Early, like yesterday or the day before.
Good.
And I was like, holy shit. And so I was like, well, I'm glad we already have tickets. Because it kind of, now my curiosity's peaked. And so to me, one of the things that I heard was like the acting is so superb in this.
Yeah.
And I really do. And I'm going to sound so pretentious, but I just saw something with Elizabeth Moss at Sundance that her acting and her casting in the movie was so awful that it made me not enjoy the movie.
Interesting.
And I don't dislike her, but I kind of, that left a bad taste in my mouth.
What
for
movie was
her.
It?
Shirley.
Huh. I'm
yeah. And so, to me, I was like, am I going to feel shitty about this? I don't want to feel shitty about her. And she was perfect. Like, she did such a great job. And, like, exactly what you're talking about. Do we need more exposition? Her acting was so on point that I felt the fear she was feeling in the moment that I didn't need anything else.
Totally. I agree with you. And, in fact, I it's kind of funny because I was really glad that, and this is going to probably sound really bad to say this, but, like, she looked pretty awful throughout the movie.
But that's her thing.
I know. But, like, I was really glad that she got her moment at the end of the movie where she looked fantastic. Like, I was so glad that she got that moment.
You know, red lips can really change everybody.
Yeah, they really can.
Totally. So I think I want to talk a little bit about, like, some of the elements that they used to scare us. Because, yes, he was invisible.
Right.
One of the things, I don't know if you guys noticed this, but, like, so I saw the trailer, I feel like, 100 times. And there's a scene in the trailer where he's like sitting in a leather chair. Yes. And she points and she says, he's in the chair or whatever.
There's a few things from the trailer they did not bring into the
Thank
movie.
Thank God. Yes. Mm-hmm. But, and even I wish there were more things left out of the trailer that I saw that would have been great scares in the movie had they not shown us in the trailer.
Like what?
Yes.
The paint on the face in the attic. I saw that in the trailer. Or maybe that came out in a later TV spot. I definitely saw that recently. And later, I was like, motherfucker, that would have been such a great moment to leave.
Wait, are you talking about the paint or the milk?
The milk.
That was really thick milk, if that was milk.
That was really thin paint.
So what's interesting to me about the trailer and spots that I've seen, to me it felt like all of the ghost stuff was so heavy-handed. Like the breath behind her in the trailer felt like so strong.
Yeah.
But in the movie, it was much more subtle.
Yeah.
And I was like, is it different? Or is it like, have I seen it before? I just like how everything played out in the movie so much more than the trailer.
The movie was more intense than the trailer. I mean, to your point, like I actually thought the trailer excited me, but I didn't feel from the trailer that I was going to be scared. I just thought it was going to be more of like a light thriller. But this was fucking scary. Like, I was legit scared for, like, I think there was at least one moment that there was a jump scare, and I said, fuck, and everyone around me was like, okay, dude, calm down. Like, I don't care.
You
I love
were jumping like jumping beans.
I love to let go in a movie like this, though, and just, like, I'm in it. Like, and like I said, I was in this from, like, the first scene. Like, oh, I just love this movie.
No, I definitely was. I feel like I have very nitpicky things about it because I don't really... I have jump scares, I guess, sometimes, but, like, I'm not talking about that. But the acting thing, it's, like, the one that really bothered me was when she was with Aldis and the daughter. I don't feel like they had any connection. And I don't
feel when they were pillow fighting and stuff, I was like, oh, yeah, that was really bad.
This is the worst acting I've ever seen in my life.
So I have a question.
That was for sure.
What was their relationship? Because I never understood, was he connected to the sister somehow?
I thought that he was the sister's boyfriend.
Okay, I don't feel like they made that clear enough,
though. But also, the sister was a bitch from the get-go, and I did not like her at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't understand her character at all.
When they finally slit her throat, I was like, good riddance. Yeah, because you're not helpful.
And also, how does she just show up to dinner and not give this lady a hard time? She gave her such a hard time before. So you're just going to show up to dinner now and like give the waiter a hard time instead of your sister? I don't know. I was pissed about
it. And like the email is the plot device that was going to like make her suddenly not talk to her sister after this experience that she knew she was just traumatized through. Like, why would you be? I think
she just abandoned her.
Yeah. And it was just like, even if she had wrote the email and it really did come from her, which it didn't. Right. But like, even if it had, wouldn't you have some sensitivity to the fact that your sister has just been through this traumatic experience and she happens to be living with, I guess it was her boyfriend, whatever. Like,
I feel like it was.
I thought it was her boyfriend, but I don't think so. I think it was just a friend. I don't think they did not establish it, obviously.
At the dinner when the sister dies, finally, spoiler, do you think that she was a cop? Because she said, oh, you have the strength of a cop. Like, maybe it was a cop friend?
Maybe. Again, I don't know that they... Clarified. I'm making up a word now. Clarified it to
You're
the
like
extent
me.
That we
no
deserved as an audience because I found
she was a throwaway.
But who is he though? I found myself distracted by like I don't know who this guy is. Like how did she get here into his house?
I didn't feel like they had a connection until the end, really.
Yeah. The other scene that I was kind of nitpicky on and that I don't really understand is like. I think this comes down to just overall, you have to suspend your disbelief in a movie like this, obviously. But the part where she goes back to the house and she finds the machine that makes the suit and then she makes the suit and then she takes the suit and she hides it. At some point, there's two parts to that scene that didn't feel like they worked for me. So one is the fact that he was obviously in the house with her the entire time.
No.
Yes,
he got there later.
Later.
Okay, so... He got there later, but he was in the closet
where she hid
the suit.
But he opened the closet after she hid the suit.
She'd already hidden it.
I don't know. That was hard for me.
100% because he opened the door when she was already trying to hide on the side.
She'd already hidden the suit in the corner, and then she hid near the closet door.
But and if, that's her and hiding spot. Like, she hid her getaway bag there and stuff.
Okay,
so
but
like,
if he had been in the house at all up to that point, enough to know that she was in the closet, he had to have seen that she had the suit,
no,
right?
No, he wasn't in the house, though. She was in
But then how did he know she was in the closet? Like,
because he went to check things. Because she knew that she was there.
He went to check things. What does that mean? Like, he knew she was in the room to go in the closet. I feel like he had to have seen her go in the closet to know that she was in the closet.
No, he would have gotten to the closet a lot sooner if he knew that.
Yeah. I don't think. Because he was kind of just searching the house. And the way he kind of was, like, standing outside of the closet door, kind of looking in. He took a while before he entered in the closet. Had he known she was in there, he would have immediately gone after her.
Yeah, because he opened the door. And then he slowly stepped in.
Yeah, and then the fact that she was just able to get out of the house like that, like I don't know, like that house was like Fort Knox, the way that it was like locked down, and she was able to just like run out and get in the car.
Well, that's why I have a
problem
with the end.
Why you have a problem with the end?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
we'll
okay.
get to that, though.
Mm. Yeah, we will get to that.
Well, I want to say one thing about the breath. This is one of my nitpicky parts.
Yeah.
Is like, she's breathing, he's breathing. We see this in the trailer. I'm not spoiling anything. And then all of a sudden, she's breathing heavy because she's scared and goes back in the house and no longer see her breath. It's just things like that annoy me.
Oh, that's annoying. Yeah.
I just was like, where'd her breath go? Because it's not there.
So I want to talk about the effects because I think that obviously they're such a critical part of the film. But I was actually really impressed because I felt like this could have been really stupid. Mm-hmm. Like if it had been executed even like a slightly different way, but like the fact like people are being beat up by this invisible person, mm-hmm. and like she's even being like dragged through the house, and like the table knocks over. Like, I thought that was actually done really well. Like, it was believable, and maybe I had just suspended my disbelief so much by the point that these scenes happened. But I don't know. I was really impressed by the fact that like I was totally bought into what was going on. Did you guys feel the same way?
I completely was, and I think the scene that terrified me the most and just made me, I'm going to say it, love this movie, and I don't care what the fuck else happened, was when, like, he's pulling the sheets off of her bed. That entire scene and how everything goes down, and she thinks he's sitting in the seat, and spoiler alert, turn this off if you haven't seen the movie.
Don't listen to this episode if you haven't seen the movie.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like, and she throws the sheet on the chair, and then he's not there. And it's just like, we've been staring at this chair for what feels like 5 minutes, believing that he's sitting in the chair.
Yeah.
And it's like this sense of relief that like he's not there. But then she goes to grab the sheet, and he's fucking standing on it. But you can't see anything.
Yeah.
I want to pee my pants right now. It was, as an adult, I don't think I've been so terrified in a film, in a moment like that. I just fucking loved it. I was like, hands down, love this movie.
Yeah, I totally agree. I also thought it was really interesting that I felt that they did a good enough job explaining without words how the suit worked.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they told you, like, they give you enough context of, like, what his career was, mm-hmm. right?
Optics.
And then when you finally saw the suit and how it worked, like, the cameras and whatever, like, I was like, okay.
I got it.
Like, I don't need it anymore. And I loved that. Like, that was, whoa. It was just, I don't know. Like, the story overall, I just want to commend, like, the writers and, like, even, like, the direction. I just felt like everything about this film was just so well done. Like,
I
just...
Do you know who Lee is and what he's done?
I don't. Tell us.
Saw.
Oh, I did read that somewhere.
And that's why there was a little Easter egg of Jigsaw spray painted on the fence when there was that car crash.
I did not notice that. Interesting.
There's a little spray painting graffiti art of Jigsaw on the...
Asian guy gets out of the car and he's like...
Yeah, and I almost screamed, Jigsaw! And then I was like, oh, that's not appropriate right now. I'm not in my home.
I did not catch that.
It was really cute. I was like, I love that. I love that he threw that out there.
What else did you guys love about this one before we move on?
I love this movie, but I just have a question Okay, so he takes pictures of her when they're in the bed, which is your terrifying scene. Then he leaves the phone upstairs. He takes her portfolio, leaves it upstairs. The knife's upstairs. She's got her fucking phone. Why isn't she taking pictures of all this stuff? Just like how he's taking... I don't know. It just like...
What would the pictures have proven, though? That she had the portfolio and that she had the...
No, that his phone was up there and had these pictures.
I don't think that was his phone. I think that was a phone that he had... I think she was calling her phone.
No, that was his phone.
No, that was his phone. Because it was his voicemail
picked up. Yeah, you're right. Okay.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like, you did all those things, but it's like, what does that mean? Yeah. Like, I know that he's doing that to, like, scare her and, like, whatever, but, like... what are you doing with it? Like, like when you find it, like, you should bring it downstairs and be like, James, I found this in your attic.
Well, nobody was there, though. By that point, it was...
I know.
By that point, it had spiraled out of control so much that that's when she was... Like, I didn't necessarily understand the part where, like, she was captured on camera running down the street.
See, now,
I thought there was going to be something there where, like, he was fighting her, pulling her back.
Yeah.
And that was further evidence.
See, now, I wish they would have used that clip in the trailer. Where she's running from something and, you know, don't know what she's running from. Mm-hmm. Like, I just feel like that would have been... I mean, like, the breath thing was, like, fine.
I just felt like when they were showing her that in the police station after, like, they arrested her, they're like, is this you running down the street? And
what does that prove?
So what? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, what's the point? Yeah, that was like, weird. It's me. Like, okay.
Because, yeah, she's a crazy person.
It was also me in the restaurant. Like, whatever.
I know, which I was also like, I bet you there's security cameras in the restaurant that show that knife was floating in the fucking air and slit her throat.
But how great was that scene?
Like, I did not expect that.
I looked around at the people around me in the theater because I was like, we were all in shock that this was like, this is what was happening. Like, it was so great because you're just like,
everyone's mouths were open. Like,
you see that knife floating there and you're just like, what is going to happen? And then what ends up happening? And then the way that, like, somehow, like, he gives her the knife to grab, like, it was just so perfectly executed.
It was so good. That was a great scene.
Oh, I just can't. It's so good.
Also, because we got rid of the sister. But
all right. So the last thing that I want to talk about in this is the fact that you don't see the boyfriend throughout the entire film, mm-hmm. and there's so many things like we haven't divulged that mm-hmm. I think are like. Again, I hope you're not listening to this episode if you haven't seen the movie, because you should see the movie, and these spoilers shouldn't. You know, you shouldn't let us spoil things for you, but. When we finally see him at dinner, when she goes to his house at the end, and you're seeing him for the first time, and I think you have these, because I don't think you see him in the trailer, do you?
You do.
You do?
Mm-hmm. Definitely a lot more.
Yeah.
And that's why I was funny, because I was thinking before we got to the end, I was like, I've seen him more in the trailer than I've seen him in this movie.
Definitely.
And then it's like, and then we got to the end. I was like, oh, okay, this is okay. We're seeing him more here.
I don't remember seeing him at all in the trailer. And I was so pleasantly surprised that they like saved him for the end. Because when you finally see him.
Little treat for you?
Sean kept like nudging me. I'm like, yeah, I know. I love this guy.
I think I literally was, when I finally saw him, I think I turned to Lena and I was like, oh my fucking God. Like,
you did.
He is such an attractive man. Like, I don't even know if I could in my brain think of like my perfect type of like what would like my ideal looking person look like.
Oh, and that's him.
He appeared on the screen and I was like, you are the one I've been
Oliver
waiting for.
Jackson,
like,
Cohen.
Oh my God. He is so attractive.
So attractive.
And he looked so good in the scene.
So good
and
in everything.
He just has you thinking like, you dumb bitch, why did you leave him?
He looks so good in everything that he's in.
Okay, well, I need to go revisit everything he's in because...
The Haunting of Hill House, man. House.
Okay, I'm watching it as soon as you bitches leave. Turning it on.
Hold on. Also, you probably haven't watched this movie. What's My Number? Or What's Your Number? With Chris Evans and...
Of course
Anna.
I've watched that movie. He's in
that? He's the fucking husband. The one she's marrying. The sister's marrying.
Oh, I don't remember.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That movie's like 10 years old.
I don't care. That's how long I've loved him.
And Going the Distance, plays the busboy Drew Barrymore goes home with one night.
He has a little unknown show called Emerald City that I loved.
Still unknown to most, I think.
I'm just saying.
Oh, that was with Jeffrey Dean Morgan, right?
No.
Though that was Stars. Whatever.
Anyway,
moving on. Magic City. Moving on.
Yes.
That last scene where you're just like... I actually, to be honest with you, I was actually thinking, like, when she goes to the house, my only thought was, like, I hope this bitch had brought a gun, because that's the only way this movie can end. And I'm sitting there thinking, like, okay, he's not going to confess. He confessed to her in, like, his own way, right?
Because he said surprise.
Yeah. But And you saw that look on her face. Like, that was such great acting because she's like, fuck, I'm not going to get him. Mm-hmm. But then she gets him. And it's like, it's just such the perfect ending to this movie. And like, she walks out and this look on her face. And like, I don't know if you also noticed this, but like, I'm sorry. I'm so obsessed with this movie. I can't wait to see it.
I love it. I know.
Like, the camera stays on her for like a minute longer than it needs to. Mm-hmm. But she needed that minute. Like, yeah. She's an actor. Like, she stays in that moment so much longer than she necessarily needed to, but it was so great that she did, because it's like, you're rooting for her. Like, people, I was clapping like long before the final scene, because I was like, fuck yes. Like, this is the type of like victory and like vengeance that you like want the character to have. And like, oh, I loved this movie.
I love this movie too.
Loved this movie.
I just felt like the end, what I was saying earlier that bothered me, it's like, because you said the house is Fort Knox, like, it's going to take her a while to get that fucking thing on to go do what she did. I'm trying not to spoil as much, but I'm mm-hmm. like, that takes a while.
Well, and then like, when she like comes back out of it, she looks just as great as she did like before, like, whatever. Like, I didn't even care about those things because I was just like, it was the perfect way to end
again,
the film.
I said I was being nitpicky.
No, but totally. And this is one of those movies that like, I don't need to be nitpicky.
But like, also it was good on her for picking a role where she wears sweatpants the entire time.
Seriously. And didn't have to wear any makeup, I feel like.
I was like, good for you, girl. You're just waking up and rolling out of bed, going to work. It was great.
Any final thoughts?
Loved.
I loved this movie.
I had to see it again, actually.
I had such a good time watching this movie. Same. Like, what a fucking surprise.
You know what also was fun? Scaring at the end. That really just...
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. the last...
Did I shave a year off your life?
Took away one of your cat lives.
I probably lost even more hair than I've already gotten lost. The other thing that I wanted to comment on that I forgot to mention earlier is that the sound design in this film.
Ooh, I was going to say that,
that
too.
That scene in the rain in particular, like, was so well... Because I just feel like, you know, that was all, like, post-production. You know what I mean? Like, that was all... You know what I mean? Like, that wasn't, like, the real sound.
The sound design in general for this movie, like... It was spectacular. Like, it wasn't over the top like Mother that drove me crazy, all the sounds in the house. Mm-hmm. But it was enough sounds in the house to, like, know there's a presence there.
Yeah.
And that something's in there. But it was subtle enough that it wasn't obnoxious. Like, it was so well done.
Yeah. Agreed. One martini.
I give it one martini. Loved it.
Yeah,
I cannot wait to see it again.
I think the things about it that I loved so much, like, even if there are things that I didn't enjoy or thought were ridiculous, I don't care.
Yeah.
Because I enjoyed it so much.
Even all my nitpicky things, I don't care. I still loved it.
Yeah.
It was great.
Same. Yeah. I would also say, if you can see it in like an IMAX, Prime, Dolby, whatever, because I think that you're going to have like a slightly more heightened experience because of that.
It was funny. I don't know if we've talked about this on the podcast before, but I think it's fucking hysterical that IMAX has two trailers for itself.
She laughs
when you see an IMAX movie. Like, you know, like AMC or whatever brand theater you're at, they've got a little trailer promoting their brand.
Right.
IMAX has two.
Yeah. Well, they're doing a visual one, then they do a sound
but
one.
But even the countdown one talks about the visuals. That's the first countdown number. So I'm like, you have two commercials. Like, two trailers for your... We're in the IMAX theater. We bought the tickets. We're sold.
It's kind of like showing like the trailer for the movie that you're about to see, like in the movie that you're seeing. Yeah, I get that. Although
it was just so ridiculous.
I will say that I did turn to Lena in the one where they do like all the scenery and the visual stuff, and I was like, I actually really love this trailer because it's like, I feel like it's like a movie in itself.
Well, then I said to him, you don't need that weird countdown one. You've got a good trailer. You don't need another IMAX trailer.
I know.
Anywho.
I said to him, I was like, that's why we got to go do those dreamscapes. Because it's just like
those things are really cool.
Yeah.
But I was thinking, it was funny because at that moment, it reminded me that I was in an IMAX theater. I almost forgot. And I was like, why the fuck is this movie in IMAX? And I was very confused why it was... in IMAX.
Why
did
they need to be in IMAX?
Well, and then I appreciated the whole immersive experience of
When she checked us in, I was like, IMAX? Why did we pick IMAX?
Yeah.
But it's fine.
I think it helps, like, the visual, the screen being as big as it is, the sound being great. Like, to me, it makes you more immersed in the movie.
That
so
was my
I was,
pick. You're
yeah.
welcome.
Yeah,
you're
good welcome. Job. Good job.
All right, let's move on to The Lodge, because first of all, I want to say I want to commend all of us because we actually did not have any notes for the first time.
Oh, yeah.
In that little section that we just did. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of notes about The Lodge.
Oh.
So I'm going to get to them. Okay.
So I've been talking about this movie yeah. since last year.
In your defense, you have.
I have.
Yeah.
And everyone was saying, what is this movie? Every time I brought it up. But they changed the date on it like a couple times. And so then they released now in was it January or early February?
It was January.
I don't know.
I will give you the credit to say that I think like the Friday before this came out, or like the Friday that it came out, you sent another text and you said of the trailer and to like our group chat. And mm-hmm. I was like, why are you sending me this again? You have sent me this trailer at least 100 times. I have never watched it. And
well, because I knew you hadn't watched it.
Yeah. And that said, I did not know what to do with this movie.
Yeah.
Like I didn't know what to, I had no preconceived notion of this movie going mm-hmm. into it.
So just to give you guys some heads up of why it's like a release date of 2019, it's because it was technically shown at several film festivals, including like Sundance and Fantastic Fest. So it was like released and shown in 2019, even though it didn't have the theatrical release until
it was
January.
To,
and it was filmed in 2017, wasn't it? Or early 2018, I think. Because I was reading stuff about the production and I actually mm-hmm. thought it was really interesting. They sat on this for like at least a year, I think, before they even sent it to festivals. Like oh. it was in like pre-release purgatory.
Because they were thinking
see what
about
I did there.
Oh,
for good quite one. Some time.
Good one.
So, okay, diving into this movie. So here's the one thing that I'll tell you. And again, there's going to be lots of spoilers for this one too. But I first saw this. So I saw this movie with you guys, but I saw it a week prior to that.
Right.
At the ArcLight. And I missed the first 5 minutes of the movie when I first saw it. And so the first thing that I saw when I walked into the theater late mm-hmm. in the ArcLight mm-hmm. was...
You arrived late to the ArcLight.
I know.
I'm surprised they even let you in.
We actually asked them. We're like, we know we're late. Is it okay to go in?
Oh,
like,
wow.
Oh, I think so. Like there, it was a moment.
I'm really surprised.
Yeah. So I walk in and sit down. And I've got my popcorn or whatever the fuck I have in that moment.
Popcorn.
And literally the second I sat down, Alicia Silverstone blows her fucking brains out.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, okay. I guess that's what we're doing here. And I, again, never watched the trailer.
Yeah.
Didn't know what the movie was. And I was like, okay, we're now in it. And then the movie just fucking
takes
doesn't
you on a ride.
Stop. Yeah. This movie is definitely a ride. I would say... The thing that I love the most about this movie is that it was so unpredictable, because a movie like this, I think, has the potential to really be predictable. And even when you thought, so like to just to, I'm going to jump ahead a little bit, but I thought that I knew where it was going in the sense that like, I really did buy into the notion that they were living in a purgatory. I thought that they died when like that night he left the gas heater on or whatever. And from that point on, I thought, okay, they're dead. And this is some sort of weird purgatory. And I'm curious to get your guys' take on what, if you were bought into that as well, or if I was crazy, or what was going on, because I don't know.
No.
Really?
I didn't think that at all.
Interesting.
I didn't even catch that.
What did you think?
I just thought that they were playing tricks and someone
you,
was...
So you thought it was the kids all along?
Well, no, I didn't think it was the kids all along. But I was like, something's going on, either... She's sleepwalking at night, and because of her past trauma,
which they
she's
implied.
Doing things, not knowing that she's doing them. I really thought it was her. I really thought it was her doing those things for a while. And then slowly it's like, oh, is she doing them? Or, you know, then you start thinking. But at first I was like, oh, no, she's just a crazy person. And why the fuck did this
so
guy
for
leave
some
his kids
con- so for some context, Alicia Silverstone is married to the fucking hot guy. What's his name?
And he's a dick.
In real life?
No.
Oh,
in
yeah.
the movie.
In the movie. I couldn't. Okay. He was so mean.
Oh, he was awful. I think everyone in this film like gets their comeuppance. I think that's the only thing I have to say.
They're
about
all
it.
Terrible people.
Yeah.
So Alicia Silverstone is married to the dad, who she ends up killing herself because he's having an affair with Riley Keough.
They've already separated at that point.
But it's because of the affair that they separated, right? So she kills herself. The kids are then like left in this trauma experience of their mother having just died. And the father's like, I'm going to get remarried to this girl that I left your mother for.
But also he's having an affair with this teenager who he's like writing a story on or something.
Yeah, he's like an editor or whatever. And he's
But she's literally a teenager.
Okay, so...
And the only surviving member of this cult.
Yes.
Where everybody committed mass suicide and she survived.
Yeah. So it has all those elements going into it. And then they go basically like the father, after these kids have already been traumatized enough by their mother's death, less than 6 months later, decides that for Christmas, he's going to leave them in a cabin with this new woman. Well, he goes.
They can't stand.
Yeah, that they can't escape. And they can't stand.
Which the kids were like, we don't want to spend Christmas with her.
Totally.
Like, we don't want to do this.
Forced them
and
to
I
do
don't
it.
Blame them, right? Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
There's metaphysical elements to this. There's religious elements to it. Like, it's definitely like an interesting story, I think. In the sense that like you don't really know what's what. Like, is it metaphysical? Is it religion? Is it like, what is it, a dream? Is everybody crazy? Like, it could go in any direction, and it kind of does. One of the things that I wanted to talk about, I was this is one of those movies that I did some research on after I saw it, because I was like, I need to know more about like what, I don't know, like where all this stemmed from and whatever.
And I love when I get Sean thinking about things.
Yeah. So one of the things that I read, a really interesting theory that, and I try really hard not to get political on this podcast.
Oh.
But sometimes I have to. Because this theory that I read.
Well, we don't have a boss.
Right? So this theory that I read.
Do what you want, man.
Yeah.
Is that we currently have a president that is gaslighting our nation with like lies, right? So like his administration, and like I think, so the interesting thing right now is like with this whole coronavirus thing, like they're really not being very truthful about what's going on, right? So it's like you kind of have, I don't know, like all these different countries are like thousands and thousands of cases of this, you know, mysterious illness or whatever, and like our president's like, nope, we've got 15 cases and they're all going to be well in the next, you know, week or so, whatever, right? And it's like,
but he says that about everything.
But that's the point, though, right? He lies about everything.
Yeah.
Like, you don't know what's true and what isn't anymore. And one of the theories that I read about this movie that I was like, oh, my God, that's, I didn't even think about that, is, like, that's kind of what this movie's making a statement on the current political landscape in the United States. We have this, or even just the world. Like, we have all these kind of dictators that are, like, you know, rising to prominence or whatever. And I thought that was really interesting about, like, how, like, the world is being gaslit. And so, like, these kids essentially are, like, gaslighting this woman into believing, you know, that they're dead. And they're not, you know? But, like, she's bought into it. And then it does send her to a place where she believes it.
Yeah.
Because it's, like, it's... she doesn't have a fucking choice. She breaks, right? And so, I don't know, I thought that was kind of an interesting theory that I wanted to share because it's kind of fitting. I will say another thing about this film for me, that because I was so bought into the idea that they were dead and because that I thought they were in purgatory and, you know, all that stuff, and I was like, there was something about, I think for me, it was the notion that, like, when you saw the newspaper clipping, when the kids, like, look at this, and it shows, like, that they were all died, they all died in the lounge or whatever, I was like, oh my God, like that's what's going on, right? Mm-hmm. Like they gaslit me, like I was bought into whatever. And the fact that these kids were like in on it, you come to find that out, what the fuck? Like, it just made me lose my sympathy for like every character in this film. And I didn't care really what happened beyond that point. Cause I was like, fuck those kids. Like, you feel bad for them, obviously, throughout most of the film because of what happened to their mom, and their dad's an asshole, and they're stuck in this cabin with this crazy woman. Like, you definitely feel it for them. But then you realize that like, everything that's going on is premeditated, pretty much, right? Because they had to do all this before they even left for the cabin.
Yeah, I think
cabin.
It's the little boy's mastermind.
Totally.
And then the little sister just, like, went along with everything.
Totally.
I mean, clearly, but...
So I think at the end of the day, really what this did for me is it just proved my theory that, like, all fucking kids are assholes. Okay. So there's that.
I mean,
that.
This was, like, the most severe case of, like... parent trapping stepmom, you know.
Yeah.
Well, and it was
that,
like,
was like I've ever seen. And I was just like, I get doing things to a certain extent, but it's this, I kind of went into it.
Yeah, it's like putting dog poo in a shoe, and then this is like, yeah. Oh no, I'm going to fucking kill you.
It just, it they took it so what? Fucking far.
What's that metaphor?
Like dog no, like, poo in a shoe yeah, is like an kids, acceptable
like,
form
that's
of
like the pranks they pull. Hazing. It was like poo yeah. in a yeah. shoe, like yeah. not like we're going to
pretend
steal your
hanging
medicine
yourself. And,
yeah, exactly. Oh, pretend hanging yourself. Jesus Christ, that was really pushing it.
So I think what it came down to for me, too, is just like, okay, well, karma, and now your dad's dead, too. Like,
well, he
sorry.
Deserved to die.
I know, but like, well, did they, he?
Those I kids honestly, are going to be traumatized, period.
Everybody deserved to die. Yeah. Everybody was a terrible person in yeah. this movie.
Did she, was she, though?
Honestly, like, Riley, honestly, was the only person yeah. that I was like, she's actually probably not a terrible person.
Yeah. yeah.
And she hasn't done anything to you kids that shows that she doesn't care or she isn't.
Yeah.
Gonna try and take care of you, and it just
yeah. She even brought them Christmas gifts. Like, yeah. I think that she was trying. And again, I always think that like in these situations where you're given absolutely no context for like how this relationship began, right?
Yeah.
So what we do know is that she had a traumatic childhood, right? And he was clearly like working with her on this book that he was writing mm-hmm. or whatever. And so did she know that he was married when they got together? Like, I kind of gave her the benefit of the doubt in the story and was thinking like, okay, well, I'm assuming that she didn't know. And by the time she did, she was probably in love with him. And he said he was going to leave his wife because God knows those things happen, right? So I definitely think that, like, of anyone, I think her character deserved the most empathy and compassion.
Yeah.
Even more than the kids. To
I think
ultimately.
Definitely towards the end when the reveal happens, I yeah. was like, oh, shit, this poor girl. Like,
yeah.
She's crazy and she's been traumatized and now they're just really messing with her so much. I do feel bad for her.
Yeah. And ultimately, I think I enjoyed like the contrasting feelings that this movie made me feel in that realm, because it did kind of take you on this emotional roller coaster of like, you feel so bad for the kids, especially the little girl in the beginning,
oh, yeah,
right?
For
like
sure.
you just watch her like crying yes. in bed. And
she did, we talked about this, mm-hmm. but she did the best crying I've ever seen in
totally.
A movie.
Totally.
It was so heart
for a
like,
young girl.
Wrenching, like, I was like, this girl is an actress. Like, holy crap.
Well, because you feel her, you don't just feel her pain. I think you also feel just the idea that, like, she's been brought up with this, like, horrible religion mm-hmm. that makes her think that, like, okay, so not only is her mom dead, but now she thinks that her mom isn't even going to heaven because
of
the way she
that.
Died.
Yeah.
And you're just like, oh, my God, like, this poor little girl.
I
like,
know.
The things that she's just suffering through, like, for no logical reason, you know,
yeah.
and like, life is unfair or whatever, but like, oh my God, like, yeah, it was traumatic. I think do you guys have any other thoughts about kind of like the story, your reaction to it, things you liked, things you didn't?
I kind of liked that it was making us think that there was possibilities of like this purgatory world or all of this other like supernatural stuff. And, like, I think my mind was kind of wandering a bit about what could be the reason why they're here in this moment.
What did you think
or,
it was?
I didn't know. Lena mentioned, like, this her sleepwalking. And I'm like, could it be something that she doesn't have her medication or something? Maybe she's not taking her medication the right way. And maybe it's more specifically her. Or is it something more supernatural? And maybe they are dead and they are stuck in this purgatory. Because I'm like, yeah, the date on the clock, and there just so many details that I just kind of never really thought kids would have had the ingenuity to kind of pull this off to such detail and to such extent, and to putting themselves in a situation where it is almost dangerous to them, like, and taking it to that extreme, you know? So that when it was revealed and they like pulled that thing back and all of their shit was downstairs, I'm like, these fucking assholes.
Yeah.
Like, I was pissed. But I was also like, wow, my mind was really going places that I like was kind of not expecting it to be the most simple answer, you know?
So one of the things that I wanted to talk about, because I didn't really understand it, and I don't know if you guys had any insight or thoughts about it, but like, they kept showing you throughout the entire film, they kept showing you like the dollhouse that was like a miniature mm-hmm. version of the lodge or whatever, the house that they were in. And
yeah.
I didn't. And then sometimes when they showed it, they actually showed like the hanging scene is there. And like, I was like, is this supposed to like be a metaphor for something? Were they foreshadowing because the kids actually did it to the dollhouse before they went?
That's, I feel like the kids were planning it in the dollhouse.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And kind of planning what they were going to do.
Gotcha.
And I think that's when the dad saw that when he was home and kind of rushed to the cabin.
Five or six hours away.
I know. But he was like calling frantically. I think he was like concerned when he saw that. He was like, something's not
right. What's going on? Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is interesting too, because the daughter clearly had been on the phone with him lots of times.
Leading him to believe everything was fine.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know.
The other thing that I thought, so I just want to say that like guns make me incredibly uncomfortable in general. Especially in a movie, especially when I'm watching the movie in a movie theater in 2020 because of the climate with guns in our country. And like, there was something about obviously the scene where he opens the safe and shows her the gun before he leaves. There's like that foreshadowing. And then there's the scene where he takes her out thinking that she doesn't know how to use the gun and she's like, perfect aim, perfect shot, you know, whatever. And like, the scene when she has the gun at the ends and you don't know what the fuck she's going to do, but you know she's fucking lost her mind. Like, that's the way that that scene was filmed and directed, and the acting was, it was all done in such a way that like, I don't know if I've ever been that uncomfortable in a movie theater before, because I was just like, you don't know what the fuck is going to happen. You have an idea, but at this point, like, everything's fair game if those kids are assholes, you know what I mean? And you're just like, oh my God, like, that scene was so hard to watch. And even up to like the very last frame of the film where she's got the gun in her hand and she puts the tape on their mouths and like.
Well, I think, I mean, to me, this movie and Joker kind of combining guns and mental illness and kind of showing you like how terrifying that is in real life. That to me is really, really scary. And that's so, I think, realistic and kind of a lot of things that people are dealing with. And it's, as much as we kind of maybe write things off as like, oh, they're crazy and whatever this happened, it's like, well, that's really fucking sad that these people are this, have gotten to this place where they're that crazy.
And then they can just go get a gun.
And, or have access to a gun pretty easily and are doing things that I don't think that they would intend to do.
Right.
Had they had the help that they needed or weren't driven to this place of madness. And it's, so it just, it's really sad that it's like consequences could be so huge in that moment
for something because that isn't guns. Their fault.
Were you guys scared in this movie?
No.
Interesting. Not even at the end?
No.
It was more uncomfortable, and you know, but I never was, there weren't any really, I don't think any like jump scares. I think the hanging kind of got me a little bit, but other than that, there wasn't really anything in it that, and like when Alicia Silverstone was like rifling through her purse out of frame, I knew she was getting a gun and going to shoot herself.
Yeah, for sure.
Like that was just way too long and way too obvious. And it's like, had she just kind of like grabbed her purse, pulled it out and done it right away, I would have liked that better.
Shocked. Yeah.
It was just like, I'm like, I know she's looking doing for something off camera because it's going to be something shocking like that. So
I wanted to read a note that I found. It was a quote from the director of the film.
Okay.
One of the directors, I don't know which one because there were two, so I apologize for not knowing which one of them it was. we wanted to show people being both good and bad, guilty and not guilty. And I think it's the combination of all of it and the lack of communication that creates the tragedy or the horror. We like that you always see shades of gray. You should not know from the first scene who you should like or not because of the character being good or bad. We want you to like everyone and also at certain moments dislike them. Do you think that was accurately conveyed?
Yeah, definitely. Except for the dad, I never liked him.
Yeah, I was going to say the dad, I never liked him.
Yeah, but I think everybody else where it's like the kids, you definitely felt sorry for them. I think the mom, you felt sorry for her right away and then were frustrated that she put her kids in that situation afterwards. That you're leaving, you're so upset that you're now leaving your kids to be by themselves, to fend for themselves in this situation. To me, that's really frustrating and selfish. And, you know, for Riley Keough's character. It's just, I think at first, it was kind of fun to kind of see. They didn't show her for a while. It was like this silhouette of a person until she finally got in the car to go to the cabin. Mm-hmm. And so you kind of had this like preconceived idea of who this terrible monster is off of the information that the kids are finding.
Just like a cute, and then
it's
normal.
It's this woman that broke up this family. And so you have all of these ideas of this monster. And she's actually just kind of quite pleasant and nice and easygoing the whole
time.
And
really trying to make an effort.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
This movie obviously ends with a, I don't know if cliffhanger is the right word, but it doesn't, it ends, but it doesn't really tell you how it ends, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so I wanted to ask you both what you thought, how you think it ends.
What I want her to do is kill the kids and then herself.
Yeah, okay. I'm pretty
just be
sure
done
that
with
that's
it and
what...
then be done with it, and then that's how people find them, and that's just... how she does it.
So do you think that, because obviously if that is the ending, it happens off camera, yeah. right? And we never know. Do you think that there is something better about the way that it does end? Or would you rather have seen it end
as
you suggest?
I mean, do you think that she could take those kids and like be their like foster stepmom or whatever, like after all of that?
No.
I don't think so.
No.
No.
I guess I'm just asking that, like, do you think that they like... stopped the film at the appropriate time?
I think so. I don't think we need to see it. I think they built
up
the her visions of her past and seeing those people covered in the purple blankets. Mm-hmm. And I think the kids found those videos of that she took from the dad's like stories and stuff. So I think they perfectly created this monster that the kids saw and that the kids drove her to. So we know exactly how that ends.
Yeah.
We don't need to see it.
Yeah.
And I don't want to see dead kids. Like,
no.
I don't want to see her do that.
No.
You know? So it's like, I think I know exactly how that's going to end. Yeah. There's no version of this that's not ending that way.
Yeah. Were there any performances that you guys enjoyed? Did you, like, I asked that question because I love Riley Keough. And I love Riley Keough.
And I told her, again, to sound pretentious, time number two. Sundance this year, Zola was like my favorite movie.
Do
and
tell.
Riley plays this like ghetto stripper,
what?
And she is so fun to watch. So it's like such a huge change from this movie. So it's like I'm really becoming a big fan of her.
Well, that's interesting because we loved her in Girlfriend Experience.
Yeah,
and she was fun, but she was also very dark.
I never
dark.
Saw that.
Oh, it's so good.
Really good.
But she was very dark in that, too.
But
though.
I think even compared to, like, Girlfriend Experience and this, there's kind of a similar kind of quietness and meekness to it that is not at all the character she plays in Zola.
That's fun.
Which is super fun to see her do something so wildly different. So I do really, really like her. I'm glad I saw that because then it made me appreciate this even more because I think she actually does have a wide range. I think she's a good actress and I think she's interesting and feels
like
honest.
She's quirky and like I like that about I like it because it's real. I
feel
like
feels
she's
very, very
real.
Honest.
Yeah.
You guys know who she is, right?
Yeah, of course.
Who her grandfather is?
Yeah.
Yes.
For those that don't know, it's Elvis Presley.
Yeah.
I guess I had heard that in the past, but I didn't know that until I kind of went back and did some research on the film.
Mm-hmm.
And her specifically, because I do find her compelling and I'm kind of really excited to see like what she does next and watch her career blossom because I think she's super talented.
And then I thought the daughter was...
The daughter, for
she
sure.
She was spectacular. She, mm-hmm. I mean, Jaden has been in a lot of stuff. We've seen it. He was fine. It wasn't anything different that
he
felt
unusual.
He
actually talked in this movie.
I mean, yeah, but he even was like super quiet at points where that was part of his character.
He's very good
and kind of, yeah, but it's...
I thought
to
it was
me,
well cast
she
in
was
general.
So,
no, for sure.
For sure.
Even the dad.
Absolutely.
Like
yeah.
I
yeah.
love the dad, too. I'm
oh, yeah.
Sure
he played
asshole,
an asshole perfectly.
For sure. Yeah, but the girl was very gut-wrenching.
Yeah.
I fell in love with her right away when she was doing that crying scene.
Yeah, same. All right, so let's move on to our ratings.
Ooh.
What'd you give it, Lena?
I gave it a 3.
Okay.
I really, really enjoyed it. I don't know if it's something that I need to, like, watch again. I mean, I would totally watch it again. But I feel like it was a little slow and lagging in parts that kind of, like, you got to know yeah. that you're watching that kind of movie. But other than that, I enjoyed it. It's a weird story and it's creepy and I like it.
Yeah. I think the only reason I saw it again is because I missed the first like 5-10 minutes of it. And I felt like I needed to see that
yeah,
to complete the experience. But yeah, I don't know if I'll ever watch it again, but it was definitely, I enjoyed it. I'm giving it a 2 because Yeah. I liked it.
I'm going to say a 3. I'm kind of indifferent. There was parts that I enjoyed, parts that were, like Lena said, that were slow and kind of dragging and whatever. It's definitely a very art house indie horror. If you like Hereditary and The Witch and, you know, It Follows and that type of movie, then
this has like A24 neon written all over it.
So it's like, then you'll enjoy this because it's different and it's not a like jump scare type of horror movie. So it's unusual. But to me, only some of those work for me. So that's not necessarily a very specific genre that I love. So, yeah, it was okay. It was okay.
I liked it. I definitely recommend it. I would say you should see this movie if you're a fan of this genre. And I would say, too, like, I have this new weird theory about specifically A24 and neon movies that, like, they never disappoint me. Like, they're always, at the very least, I walk away from them thinking, like, that was a unique enough experience and I'm glad I participated.
It was a super unique experience. I think that that's a great way to put it.
And that's what I want in a film. I mean, that's, to be honest, like, that's
totally different.
Yeah. Like, that's, as long as I get that out of the movie, like, I don't care if it's the best film I ever saw. Like, I'm glad that I, like I said, that I witnessed the experience.
Yeah, I like that. Good way to put it.
Great.
As always, we want to thank you for listening. For more information, please be sure to visit themartiniscale.com, where you can find links for all of our social channels, in addition to show notes and more.
If you haven't already, please head over to Apple Podcasts and rate and review us. It helps others discover the show.
We'll see you next time.
Cheers!
Bye!